Thank you, Rodney. I hope that inspires you all. It did me. Real quick, this is before a prelude to the message, but remember the conditions of prayer, that you have an authentic relationship with God, that you have a forgiving heart toward others, that you be willing to share the results of God's answers in prayer. You believe that God will answer the prayer, and you always go to Him in the name of Jesus. You've got to go there that way. And I encourage you to be praying for one another. There are many, many, many things that are unspoken in this church. Many, many that need to be prayed through. And I encourage you to keep praying for each other. All right? Very important. I think we got a battle before us, and you ought to know what it is. We have to fight Satan every day. And that warfare goes on in our minds, and I hope we can understand that as I do this little preliminary. You know, I can't imagine that there's anyone in here this morning that if there was an intruder coming into your house and you was in your easy chair, and there, I can't imagine that you would sit there and let it happen, that you would jump up and that you would grab any instrument that you could to defend your family against the intruder that was coming in. I think every one of us would do that. But yet, when we have Satan invading the minds of families, and sometimes we're opening the door through the internet, through televisions, through the garbage that's on the internet, through the video games. We actually allow that as parents, as grandparents. We've got to get the blinders off and understand that junk that we allow is what is contaminating the minds of our children and us, because what goes in comes out. And we've got to understand that's happening. Satan has an absolute threat upon every family. Every family. You know why? Because he understands something and recognizes something that some of us have forgot. It's the families are the building blocks of a society. Families are the building blocks of the future generation that's going to make decisions for you and I when we're in our old age. Right now, things aren't going very well in this country. And they haven't been. Because some stupid things have been done. That certainly wasn't led of God. And you say, well, I can't understand why that's happening. What happened to common sense? What happened to the moral values that was being taught through mom and dad? What happened to what was taught by grandmas and grandpas to people then who had children who then taught their children? We've lost it. It's been a fireball for me. I'm sharing it with you because I believe that we as a church, that we're embarking upon something that God really wants done in this community. And that is to reach wherever and however we can with education, with knowledge, with compassion and care. When you think about, certainly we started with Sunday school. We added Awana. We've added, and praise God, we got the mothers for preschoolers. And now we're embarking upon daycare and latchkey. If this church gets a vision of what can happen through that, that now that opens up opportunities for us to do the parenting skill classes, the marriage enrichment classes. If you get a hold of this and you start to hear what I want to share with you this morning, you can see that God is putting together something for this church to get their arms around that can make a difference and will make a difference in this community. And it'll make a difference in our homes. Satan is so interested in the family because the family has always been. It was ordained by God to be the foundation that would create and teach the next generation. And those principles that were supposed to follow one family, one generation after another. God ordained it. Genesis chapter 2, 18 to 24. Go and take a look at it. Genesis 2, 18 to 24. You'll see that the first bonding agent that God created was the family. It wasn't government. It wasn't church. It wasn't relationships. It was a man and a woman coming together that then produced an offspring that they were to teach the fundamental truths for the next generation. God set it up that way. And if you look in verse 24, he says, therefore a man shall leave his mother and father and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. One flesh. Two people coming together forever. That was what God ordained. What's happened? Now we have the average marriage lasting 7 years. We got a whole pastoral. You ought to look at our database. It's tough to figure out who are the parents of children. They live with this one, they live with this one, and they're with this one. It's an amazing maze that's been created because we have divorced the fundamentals that God set up called family. And Satan continues to try to destroy it. We are to have a partner that we're together for a lifetime. And that was ordained by God. But you know what? Satan is outsmarting us. You know why? Because he understands that a strong, Christ-centered family, if he can destroy that, if he can take that away, then it takes away the next generation of being Christ-centered. And that's exactly what's happened in this world, in this country. Is the Christ-centeredness is being lost. If there is a fundamental thing that we as a body of believers has got to do, is to try to bring back to God what He intended to happen. And He's in it for us. He's trying to lead us. You know, Satan's war is against the marriage. And we have to understand that. But yet, God's design for that marriage was to last a lifetime. Let me give you what Jesus said about that in Matthew 19, verses 5 and 6. Jesus said, for this reason, a man shall leave his mother and father and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has put together, has joined together, let no man separate. But yet Satan's objective is to cause division in families and to make it easy for them to separate what he put together. Something wrong about that. There's something wrong with that. I want to share with you some things that just come to mind. When I was meditating with God, and some of the things that I know just from counseling. You know, there's one issue that a lot of people don't even think about. It's called premarital sex. And I'm not going to dwell into that, so don't get alarmed. But what happens? Whenever that happens with an individual, because it's a God-given that we're not supposed to, then there's guilt feelings that gets developed. Those guilt feelings will carry into a real marriage. God has made it clear. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4, it says, marriage is honored among all and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. When that happens, there's some guilt feelings that goes. There's excess baggage that goes into the marriage, whether it be with that partner or the next. And that can be something that just mentally works on the minds until it gets dumped out of there. Another thing that causes marriages to fall apart is an overwhelming debt. In the years of counsel that I've been through and other pastors, and I talked with them, two things it always boils down to causing divorces. It's either money or it's sex. An overwhelming debt is what happens. And you know what? Satan has made it so easy. And you say, well, Satan's doing it? He is working in the minds to make it easy for us to get credit. And that's what's happened to this country. It's so easy to get debt. Yep, sure was, but now we got to pay the bill. And many things that we seek to go after as people that we gather this debt, you know, it's easy credit, it's easy to go after it, it's easy to buy it. But sometimes it's extremely difficult to pay for, and sometimes it's wore out before it's ever paid for. Satan loves that. If he can, through the advertising that's coming into your TV sets or however you might see it, he's going to work on your mind to try to enable you, to show you how you need that, how you ought to have that. And it's so easy. Just a few bucks a week, and it can be yours. The lust for material things can destroy. Because it's too easy to buy. It's too easy to make decisions that are against the principles of God, and that is going into debt. Third thing I want to share with you that I believe is detrimental to a marriage is, especially young folks getting married. And, you know, you can get mad at me for mentioning this, but I believe it's true, and I believe I can back it up by Scripture. And that is meddling parents. Meddling mom and dads. You know, whenever Johnny and Sissy, they walk down the aisle and they say, I do, and they're to leave mom and dad and be clinging to one another, I don't think that that means that Johnny and Sissy leaves one foot inside their bedroom door at home. That's too easy. That's too easy. If things go wrong in that marriage, they gotta work together. They gotta work out their differences. They are now one. They come together in the eyes of God. They should work out those differences. Now I can differ with myself, even if there's physical problems that needs to be addressed, then that's one thing. But to make it easy for them to separate, I don't think that's godly. And so consequently, I believe that, you know, whenever they walk down the aisle, we've got to stop being a parent and we be parental advisors. There's a difference. They can come to us, we can give them advice, but we no longer have the control over them. And I think that's a problem with young marriages today. We're allowing young people to come home and get out of it and make it easy to get out of. And I think that's wrong. And I think I can support that with the Scripture I just gave you. And I think another thing that can happen in churches that can cause divisions in marriage is something called overcommitment. And whenever there's an overcommitment and one partner is being taken away from the other one for too long of a period, the other partner feels neglected. And I can tell you that whenever one feels neglected, they're going to get their out of girls and out of boys somewhere. And so consequently, you got to be careful of overcommitment. I think there's a problem in the other direction, and I just want to keep on moving here. That moms and dads can be looking at the American dream, and I think we ought to be dreamers of looking at what we can do. But sometimes we overexert ourselves, and whenever we overexert ourselves and we put ourselves into situations whereby we're away from home so much that we don't have the time now to teach the children, we are gone against what God's principle is. And I want to read that principle to you. It comes out of Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 to 8. Here's what he says. He says, And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I give you this day. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are away on a journey, when you are lying down and when you're getting up again. Tie them to your hands as a reminder and wear them on your forehead. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And that may not have been the same version that you've seen on the screen, but you know what? The point is that you and I have to give time to teach our children and to teach them the strong principles of God that He wants us to teach them. He says over and over, he says, don't stop. Just don't say, well, I told you that yesterday. You may have to say it again today. And you may have to say it again tomorrow to get the message through to children. You have to be redundant. And a lot of people don't say, well, I told you. Well, yeah, but you're going to have to tell them again. And God tells us we need to do that. You know, divorce, always. I've heard it said over and over, well, the kids aren't the ones that hurt in the divorce. Yes, they are. Children deserve a mother and a father that's going to teach them and stay together and to show them the love relationship that should be there with two people coming together. Dad, if you're not caressing mom and giving her a kiss in front of the kids, it's maybe you need to think it again. Showing the love that you have for one another becomes necessary that those kids see that. I said, now it has to stop. But at that point, you show the love to one another. How are we going to change things? How are you and I going to change things scripturally? How are we going to get where God wants us? Proverbs. Proverbs makes it clear. In chapter 3 of Proverbs, in verses 5 and 6, he says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths." That's where God wants us. I keep saying this over and over, but in this word, it is Jesus Christ in written form. And He wants to speak to you. He wants to tell you the right things. You know, without this, we try to lean on our own personal understandings. Or we might try to lean on the understandings that we see on television or on a radio or read somewhere else. But you know, right here, this doesn't lie. This is truth. And we need to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not upon our understandings, but on what this says. And again, I can't tell you enough. If you've got a problem in life, you know, there's nothing in here. There's everything in here has an answer for something in life. If you'll just use that concordance in the back. Mine's been used a little bit. It's coming apart. But you know what? Whenever you get back here and you look up that key word and you start to read what God says, you know, that's what really makes the difference. That's where the real understanding is. And so I encourage that. We've got to return to the Lord and acknowledge Him as Lord and Savior and let Him show us those things that we need to do with our families. Not what you think, but what God says we need to do with our families. Learn to discern that voice of God. And I don't know a better way to do it than to get in here and check it out. If you think it's right, check it out. Make sure it's where God wants you to be with your family in the direction. You got to be active in training children. You can't let it to somebody else. Unfortunately, you know, that's where we're going to try and pick up the pieces with daycare and with the before and after school ministries, is that whatever love we can give those kids, whatever we can teach them in a short period of time, right out of here, we want to take advantage of that. Like we do with Awana, like we do in Sunday school. It's going to be a real opportunity for us. But we got to teach, and you and I have got to teach with an openness of His Word, allowing His Word to flow from us and be directive, to make sense to people. Because how can you make sense? Because you can reflect it, you reflect yourself of who you are. Let it be shown. People learn by actions, and to let it be shown. Openness. Don't be afraid to let it be known that you made a mistake. It's not a defeat for attitude for you, but let it be known that you made a mistake and God led you out of this and gave you a victory. There's nothing better than a personal testimony to share with people. But folks, we got to guard our eyes and we got to guard our ears that they don't see and they don't hear things that doesn't need to get into this mind. And we need to be filling it with what the mind of Christ is, which is in that word. And I encourage that. I've been convinced now for a few years. If there's anything at a church and we as Christians need to do, we've got to be sharing. We've got to be sharing Christ wherever we have the opportunity and His directions. Because Satan is coming at the world through another avenue. The internet, the video games, the things that are going on in this world. How are we going to counteract that unless we jam and get God and we get His Word? We get the mind of Christ into the minds of little ones and parents as well. We can't afford, folks, to be ignorant of what's going on in the world. Because Satan is using every avenue that he can to get into the minds of children and adults alike. Test it. question it. Is that where God would like me to hear or what God would want me to see? It's got to be a question. You know, the battleground that I said whenever we started, I'm going to say it again, the battleground that Satan likes and he uses is the mind. But if we have the mind of Christ, if we're filled up with the mind of Christ, you know, it's kind of like the glass of water. When the glass of water is full, you can't put anything else in it or it overflows. And let me tell you, if you could just allow Christ to be in your mind and it overflows and it flows into the hearts of someone else through your sharing with them, you know, there's no room for Satan to get in there, because you can say, whoa, wait a minute, that's not what my God wants me to do. And you stop it. You don't allow it to enter. If you see something, you don't want to look at it. You know, it's just, it becomes easy. Easier and easier as you approach it. Here's what Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10. He said this, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy." You know, a lot of people take that verse of Scripture to think that he's talking about physical. He's not talking about physical. He's not talking about physical, because the thief that's spoken here is not like the common robber that you and I might know. We're talking about Satan. Jesus is talking about Satan there. He's talking about how he comes to steal away your spiritual growth, your spiritual understanding, your spiritual thing that's your foundation. You see, if Satan can get into the mind and destroy that and take that away, he gets your joy. He gets your joy. He gets your contentment. He gets your direction of where God wants you to go. He does that. And we got to understand he uses a lot of tools. There's another way that Satan works, and he works right in the church. We are to be known, and I hope we are known, as the bride of Christ. And one day he's going to call our names and we're going to join him. But you know, right now, as we come together, as things are starting to even mature more and more in where he wants us and what we need to do, we really, really have to understand that we're to keep our focus upon Christ and not upon each other. Because here's what Satan will and can and has done, and he can do it again in every church: cause disunity. Cause two people to get to bickering a little bit, and then all of a sudden we have sides set up. That's not God's way. God says, come to me, let us reason together. God wants us to come together and remain in unity and go forward, marching as a army of God. I encourage you. I encourage you to watch out. Be aware. Keep your eyes open. Get our heads out of the sand and not allow Satan to take us and kill us spiritually. The good news is we can win, and we will win. And if we'll just stop to remember that our true enemy is Satan and not each other. He tells us that in Ephesians 6. I encourage you to go make a study on Ephesians 6, which is the putting on the whole armor of God, and what an important thing that is. There's another thing that I want to share real quick this morning, is that you and I have got to have our eyes open when it comes to where our children are being educated. I don't think I want my grandkids or my great-grandkids taught that I evolved from a lower level of life, when I know God created us. He created us as to who we are. And yet we have schools teaching that. Also teaching that the universe was some type of a cosmic explosion that occurred billions of years ago and created this whole universe. Hogwash, exactly. Think about biblical creation can't be taught in school, but some of this other garbage can be. We've let them take prayer out of school, can't display the Ten Commandments in school. what else is happening in schools, and do you know what else is happening in schools that's being taught to your children or your grandchildren? Are you active? Satan has a war. And you say, well, but the schools I can trust. Really? I want to share something with you. And this is out of God's word. Not me. I want to share something with you. Do you believe that you have the ultimate responsibility to teach your children? You do. Here's what he says. Same scripture, Deuteronomy chapter 6, 4 to 9. The Lord is our God, the Lord alone, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart and your mind and your soul and strength, and you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I give you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk to them about when you're home and when you're away and on a journey, when you're lying down and when you're getting up. Same scripture, different text. I just used a little while ago. I want to go to another one. Proverbs 22:6. Train up the child in a way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Teach your children to choose the right path, and when you're older, he will remain there. Let me give you another one. Ephesians 6:4. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. If you heard them, and the Deuteronomy 6 scripture, who was God holding responsible to teach and to see that they are taught? Parents. When you look at that scripture there in Proverbs, who was God ultimately holding responsible to teach the children? Parents. In the Ephesians scripture, who was God ultimately holding responsible to teach their children? Parents. We might send them to school, but we've got a responsibility to make sure that they are being taught correctly and not something off the cuff that they shouldn't be taught about. You know, I think that's pretty serious business right there. We have allowed our world, our system, to start teaching things that are absolutely contrary to what God's word is. And then we wonder. We wonder after our children have grown, and we wonder why they are straying away from the principles that we thought that we taught them. We wonder why they're going in different directions. We wonder how there's millions of apparent Americans today that thought that they taught their children that there was not to be anything like sex until there was a marriage, and now we have the government providing contraceptives. And we stand by and don't take issue with it. Whenever we let evolution be taught in school but not creation, folks, there's something wrong. And we have had our head in the sands way too long, and there's more happening today that I'm not going to go into right now, but there's a lot more happening today that deviates from where Christ wants us to be. I can only say this as I try to sum this up, is that you and I, when we look at the education, understand that we have the responsibility to educate those children. And you say, well, wait a minute, do I have to teach them reading, writing, and arithmetic? No, but you've got to make sure that the principles are there, that they're being taught, and that they're not deviating from what they ought to be. We got to stay informed. We got to stay involved. And I hope that as we embark upon where we are, you're saying, well, I'm not there now, and you're not there, and you're saying, I can tell you, yeah, I'm not there either. But as we get more and more involved with daycare, and we get more involved with our school, as we come to know them better, we'll have more opportunity to stay informed and to be involved and to be active. There's one thing we got to understand today, folks, and that is our children are the future. And they ought to be taught, I believe, these principles. And we have a society that is deviating from fundamental truths, and it ought not to happen. We have to stand in the gap as parents and not allow things to happen like they're happening today. And I encourage you to take issue with some things, to get involved, to learn what's being taught, to understand what's being taught. And whenever it's against the godly principles that we know, then we need to take issue with it and not allow Satan to take and educate your kids. I'm sorry that this even happens, but it does, doesn't it? And we got to not keep our head in the sands, but admit that we've got to make some changes. I think you got to ask yourself the question today, what is it that I can do? And this was kind of a fourfold message, and I understand that, but what can you do today? What can you do to safeguard your marriage that you're not doing now? I've mentioned about five things. But you know, you can go through a whole checklist of where am I in my commitment to my spouse? And then where am I in how I am educating my children, or I'm allowing them to be educated? And what am I doing with my time? How am I spending my time whenever I need to be spending it with my children and teaching them? What am I doing that I should be doing in teaching these children over and over and over and over again the principles? What are we doing with our time when we need to be teaching them? That becomes a question. And what is it that I need to do personally that draws me closer to the Almighty God to get my direction from there? We're offering something here on Sunday nights. I hope you'll take advantage of it. And I ask you to search your soul this morning. Search your soul. Am I really watching out for my children, of how they're being educated? Am I really seeking to get closer to my spouse? Am I allowing anything to get in the middle of that relationship that causes some gritty sandpaper between it? What can I do to draw that closer? And what can I do with my children to give them more and more time teaching them the principles of God? We need to ask those questions. Can we stand and pray together? Father, we thank you for this opportunity we've had to look into your word and to seek it out. And now as we go into the invitational time, Lord, we pray that you might be leading us, that if we need to bow down to you and say, Lord, what is it that I need to do that I'm not doing? I'm asking you, Lord, if that happens, that you'll reveal it, you'll make it clear, you'll make it concise and pointed, that everyone will know exactly. But let us seek you and your understanding, not our own, as you told us. And we thank you for the opportunity now. This invitation is yours. If there's anyone here, Lord, this morning that has not yet received you as Lord and Savior, we pray that this might be the morning that they'll come and say, yes, I want to be saved. Yes, I want to be a child of God. And so, Lord, we ask it now and we give the invitation to you as we come to in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Take up thy cross and follow me.